Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, August 13th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
U.S. stocks near a record, with the S&P 500 6 points shy of an all-time high.
Stimulus talks remain in limbo with no sign of the stalemate easing.
The coronavirus outbreak shows signs of improvement in some of the hardest-hit states.
And President Trump ramps up his push to get students back to school.
New York and New Jersey teachers voice concerns about in-person learning. Plus, it's the first joint appearance for the Biden-Harris ticket. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees beat the Braves, the Mets down the Nationals, and the Islanders won their playoff series opener with the Capitals.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are falling on the heels of yesterday's gains. It is coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 3.5 points. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures down 10 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris is down 0.1%. FTSE in London down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1%. Down 4 cents. To $42.63 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4%, down $8 at $19.41.10 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1835 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.85. John.
And the rally in U.S. stocks has the S&P 500 on the cusp of a record. So where do we go from here? Not far, according to Blackstone Vice Chairman Byron Wien.
The bear market is over. The recession is over. I can see the S&P 500 being a little bit higher than it is today. But basically, I think it's fully priced at this point.
He's not alone in that assessment. Carlyle's head of global credit, Mark Jenkins, says it's a hard environment to deploy fresh capital.
Clearly, the financial markets, we would say, are not necessarily reflecting what's going on in the real economy right now, which has been that demand destruction that we saw as a result of the current pandemic that we have.
Nonetheless, U.S. stocks are nearing a record, with the S&P 500 just 6 points shy of an all-time high.
Now, if the rally is going to continue, we'll likely need more stimulus from Congress, but things don't look great on that front. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is rejecting an offer from the White House to restart talks. She says Republicans aren't taking the process seriously and are unwilling to budge from demands for a small stimulus bill. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is also continuing the lines of attack.
The Speaker and the Democratic leaders are letting the wish list of wealthy coastal elites stand between every working family in America and the additional help they deserve.
Negotiations remain in limbo with no sign of the stalemate easing. Democrats say there will be no talks until the White House agrees to spend more than the $1 trillion it's offering.
The Federal Reserve is continuing its call for Congress to act quickly. Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren tells us he thinks a deal will ultimately get done.
My personal assumption and my forecast is that some form of additional stimulus is going to occur. It would definitely be bad news both for my forecast and for the economy if we don't do any additional stimulus at this time.
Rosengren also blaming a quick reopening of the U.S. economy for prolonging the downturn. More from our interview with the Boston Fed president coming up in 15 minutes from now right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Now, a large swath of America remains out of work in the wake of the pandemic. Today, we get the latest tally on unemployment with a weekly reading on jobless claims. Here with more is Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
It's the key question for investors. How much did the economy slow in the last month or so? And did that slowdown push more people out of work? The consensus is it did, with initial jobless claims forecast to be over a million for the 21st week in a row. In all, analysts see another week of more than 30 million Americans receiving some kind of unemployment benefits. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Michael. Meantime, some of the hardest hit states are showing signs of improvement in the pandemic. Hospitalizations in California are on the decline, and Governor Gavin Newsom says the state is starting to turn the corner.
It's very encouraging to see the 14-day hospitalization numbers continue to decrease over 19%, 19.3, 19.4% decrease. in the last 14 days.
Hospitalizations in Texas are also declining, down to the lowest level in 6 weeks. Overall, daily U.S. infections are up 1.1%, right in line with the one-week average.
And that has President Trump ramping up his push to get students back in school.
Virtual learning is not like being in a classroom, and we've learned that, I think, very strongly. In almost all cases, people thought for a long time that would be the answer, but that's not the answer.
The president hosted an event featuring parents, educators, and researchers arguing for in-person learning. Meantime, some districts that had heeded the president's call are slamming their doors shut again. Here with more is Bloomberg's Mark Mills.
Schools that reopen fully and early are seeing hundreds of students, staff, and teachers put into quarantine as COVID-19 spreads. A suburban Atlanta school district Wednesday temporarily closed in-person instruction at a second of its 6 high schools. Nationally, most districts are ignoring Trump's full-speed-ahead advice. Large urban districts that are starting the year online include Atlanta, Houston, Boston, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Mark Mills, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And turning to geopolitics now, it looks like the White House is stepping up pressure on Germany and France when it comes to trade. The administration's adding extra tariffs to goods from those countries starting next month. It's a move designed to squeeze the EU into settling the long-running dispute over illegal subsidies to Airbus.
In Asia overnight, stocks rose for a third session, getting close to erasing losses for the year. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Shares in Japan saw the bulk of gains during the Asian session. The Nikkei 225 up 1.8%. Australian equities underperformed as earnings at some firms disappointed and the unemployment rate picked up to 7.5% in July. And bonds rallied in New Zealand while the Kiwi fell after the RBNZ's chief economist confirmed the central bank would prefer a weaker currency. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. Back here in the U.S., Apple is stepping up its services offerings. Bloomberg News has learned the company's preparing a series of bundles to let customers subscribe to its digital services at a lower monthly price. The bundles, called Apple One, are planned to launch as early as October alongside the next iPhone. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, futures a bit lower. S&P futures right now down 3 points. The Dow futures down 13. The Nasdaq E-mini futures are 10 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. That's time for news from around the world. This morning, we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. New York City teachers and staff are calling for the Education Department to delay in-person learning past September 10th over pandemic worries. In a letter to Mayor Bill de Blasio and schools chancellor Richard Carranza, the Council of School Supervisors and Administrators wrote, "There are many unanswered questions about concerns from teachers." The United Federation of Teachers Union also says they believe the Department of Education should delay the reopening of school buildings. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is backing off his original mandate for how schools will reopen in September. Bloomberg's Jill Snyder has the story.
Governor Murphy will allow the state's public schools the option of all remote teaching. That's a retreat from his earlier requirement that all districts offer some level of in-person instruction. The decision came a day after groups representing administrators joined New Jersey's biggest teachers union to raise alarms about classroom safety while the coronavirus continues to spread. The governor didn't estimate how many of the state's 2,500 public schools may choose to begin the year remotely. Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Radio.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris made their first joint appearance as running mates yesterday, promising to bring steady leadership to the White House and lacing into President Trump for his failed response to the coronavirus pandemic. Senator Harris.
His refusal to get testing up and running, his flip-flopping on social distancing and wearing masks, his delusional belief that he knows better than the experts.
Biden, speaking with Harris in Wilmington, Delaware, says the choice we make this November is going to determine the future of America for a long, long time. President Trump says he will prevent Democrats from allowing mail-in voting in November by refusing to approve the funds to make it happen.
It'll be the greatest rigged election in history. It'll be the greatest fraud ever perpetrated, other than perhaps what they did to my campaign, where they spied on my campaign, President Obama, Biden, and everybody else.
A marquee dining spot at Hudson Yards in Manhattan is closing. Chef Thomas Keller says that he is shutting down his Tack Room restaurant. The pandemic upended the restaurant and retail picture at the development. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Right, Michael, thank you. It is coming up on 610 on Wall Street. That's time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
All right, thanks, John. Before the game with the Braves, the Yankees admitted to a minor Aaron Judge injury, which explained the curious move to take him out of Tuesday's game. They had said for rest. The truth is Judge has lower tightness. He campaigned Aaron Boone to let him play last night. They didn't need him. Gary Sanchez and Clint Frazier hit back-to-back home runs in the second inning, two runs in both the fourth and fifth, and the Yanks beat Atlanta at the stadium 6-3. Frazier had three hits in his return after being demoted from the active roster 2 weeks ago.
Tonight was fun, you know. It felt good to get the first at-bat out of the way and just kind of be able to breathe. But, you know, I'm like I said, I feel like I'm a little more advanced in some areas, and I'm just glad that tonight was able to start with a bang.
DJ LeMahieu, four hits, now batting .431. Yanks used seven pitchers. Jonathan Loaisiga got the win. Zach Britton the save. The Mets also used seven pitchers. They beat Washington 11-6. Home runs for Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, and Dom Smith. They all had three hits. The Cubs beat the Indians. The Cubs are 12-3. Best start in 50 years. Islanders had a great start to this NHL season, but before the shutdown, they were mired in a seven-game losing streak. Time off seems to have helped. Isles beat Florida in the qualifying round, opened up their first-round series, beating Washington 4-2. The Capitals led 2-0, but Jordan Eberle scored late second period. Anders Lee early in the third. Josh Bailey put the Isles ahead shorthanded. And then Anthony Beauvillier is fourth of the playoffs. Four other Stanley Cup playoff openers. Philadelphia topped Montreal. Colorado shut out Arizona. Vancouver took St. Louis. Boston double overtime over Carolina. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. And Bubba Wallace has signed a new sponsorship deal. Columbia Sportswear has announced a multi-year agreement with NASCAR's only black full-time driver as a brand ambassador. The company's going to be featured on the number 43 car at Dover later this month, plus one or two future races. Wallace gained national attention as an activist who successfully pushed NASCAR to ban the Confederate flag at its events. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. The rally in U.S. stocks has the S&P 500 on the cusp of a record, just 13 points shy of an all-time high. Earlier we said 6 points, but a quick correction, it is 13 points away from the record. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 4 points right now. Dow futures down 27. NASDAQ futures down almost 13. 10-year Treasury is up 6/32. The yield 0.66%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3%, down 12 cents to $42.55 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5%, down $8.80, 1940.20 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1842 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.80. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Nathan, House Speaker Pelosi said she rebuffed an overture from Treasury Secretary Mnuchin to restart talks on a new round of U.S. pandemic relief because the White House hadn't budged on calling for a smaller stimulus. But Mnuchin said it was Pelosi who refused to compromise, and the negotiations remain in limbo. In sports, the Yankees won. The Mets meet the Nationals 11-6. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles won. The A's beat the Angels. The Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm John Tucker. With interest rates near zero and expected to stay there for quite some time, when will the Federal Reserve resume forward guidance? We'll ask Eric Rosengard now. The Boston Fed president sat down for a wide-ranging interview with Bloomberg's Michael McKee to discuss the economy, policy, and the pandemic. Let's listen into some of that conversation right now.
There's been talk of changing your forward guidance come September, perhaps to a state-dependent kind of guidance that would tie the Fed's interest rates to an outcome like inflation running a little hot for a while. Where do you stand on that?
I think there'll be an appropriate time to have forward guidance. I think at this stage of the recession and the pandemic, that forward guidance probably is only mildly helpful. And the reason for that is the long-term Treasury rate is still quite low, interest rates are quite low. And in that environment, I think people are already assuming it's going to be quite some time before interest rates rise again. So while it might be marginally helpful, I would actually say that our lending facilities and some of the facilities being run by the New York Fed are probably providing more support because they're getting at the cost of funds to individuals and businesses that I think are more important for what the outcome for the economy will be.
I want to talk about lending programs. Chairman Powell emphasizes, of course, that the Fed can lend, not spend. Is that the wrong prescription for the economy right now? Your lending programs have not seen a lot of take-up.
No, but they've been quite effective in many respects. So the announcement of our willingness to buy corporate securities quickly pushed those interest rates down. And as a result, we didn't need to buy very much because the market reacted to our announcement. So I would say credit conditions are much better than they were in March or April because of the Federal Reserve's actions. And I think that has been an important stimulus to the economy. In terms of spending, that has to come from fiscal policy. So the U.S. economy also benefited from the kind of very quick and very significant stimulus provided by both providing better unemployment benefits, broader unemployment benefits, checks to low-income individuals. All those things have been very helpful in preventing particularly low-income individuals from being able to continue to make spending decisions over the course of the spring and into the summer. But I think many of those programs have ended as of the end of July. The pandemic has not ended. The unemployment rate is still above 10%. So we need stimulative fiscal policy to continue. I think that's critically important that Congress come up with some kind of agreement to continue to provide support.
Have you modeled the impact from the end of that fiscal stimulus?
My personal assumption and my forecast is that some form of additional stimulus is going to occur. It would definitely be bad news both for my forecast and for the economy if we don't do any additional stimulus at this time.
You supervise the Main Street program. That's perhaps the most controversial. According to your figures, $856 million in loans in the system, but it's a program that could do $600 billion in loans. Does that suggest modifications need to be made to the Main Street program?
Well, I'd highlight we've already made quite a few modifications. So we had an initial term sheet. We came out with a revised term sheet, and then it was revised once again to make the program broader and more accessible to a wider range of small businesses. We've also opened it up to the nonprofit sector. While we're not live on that part, banks are perfectly able to start the negotiations with the nonprofits. As you know, it takes a long time to actually negotiate a bank loan. So it doesn't surprise me that we would start gradual and that it would pick up over time. And so I think that's exactly what we're seeing. One reason we're seeing a lot of the lending coming primarily from community banks and mid-sized banks is they're probably a little bit more flexible and are able to adapt more quickly. I would expect that larger banks over time will start using the facility more. And the goal is to make sure that businesses that actually need it, that are creditworthy in February, that have had their cash flow disrupted and are likely to be viable businesses after the pandemic is over, are able to get that kind of cash flow financing. And I think we are seeing a pickup in that activity. I expect as borrowers and as banks get more familiar with the program, we'll continue to see increases.
I guess the final question I'd ask is, how much of this do you think you'll end up using in the sense of how bad is the economy going to get this fall that people would be coming to the Main Street facility?
Well, I think you're exactly right. It depends on how the economy progresses, and that depends on what happens with the pandemic. Unfortunately, since I actually think the pandemic is quite likely to get worse as we get into the fall, that means I am worried that the economy will get worse. That will mean that firms that were hoping not to need to access this program will probably need to access this program as both banks become more constrained and as businesses become more concerned that the disruption in their cash flow occurred much longer than they expected.
And that's Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren speaking with Bloomberg economics correspondent Michael McKee. You can catch the full interview online at Bloomberg.com. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street futures, right now they're in the red. Not by much, though. The Dow E-mini futures down 19 points. The NASDAQ futures right now, they are 7 points lower, and the S&P 500 futures ahead of the cash open on Wall Street down 3 points. That's down 0.1%. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The rally in U.S. stocks has the S&P 500 on the cusp of a record. Right now, it's just 13 points shy of an all-time high. That's despite stimulus talks on Capitol Hill essentially going nowhere. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is rejecting an offer to restart negotiations unless the White House scraps its demand to cap spending. She says Republicans aren't taking the process seriously. In turn, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is blaming Democrats.
Republicans want to get more aid to these workers, but Senate Democrats have blocked every bit of it over non-COVID-related liberal demands.
And now negotiations remain in limbo with no sign of the stalemate easing. Democrats say there will be no talks until the White House agrees to spend more than the $1 trillion it's offering.
A large swath of America remains out of work. And today we get the latest tally on unemployment with the weekly reading on jobless claims. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
COVID-19 furloughs and job cuts persist. Initial jobless claims have topped 1 million since mid-March, peaking at almost 6.9 million late in the month. Bloomberg Economics says the labor market recovery depends on business confidence, and that's fragile. The economy is down by almost 13 million jobs since the pandemic struck, and businesses are failing, one of the most recent being retailer Steinmart. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Vinny, thanks. Now, on the political side of the pandemic, we're seeing President Trump ramp up his push to get students back in school.
Virtual is not as good as being there. Virtual is just not the same thing, and for a long time, we've been hearing how great it would be, how great it would be. Well, we've had the ultimate sample, right? Namely, the whole country practically, and it's not as good.
At the same time, we're seeing some districts that fully reopened shut again. Some are putting students, staff, and teachers into quarantine. Most large urban districts are starting the year online, including Atlanta, Houston, Boston, Los Angeles, and Chicago.
And turning to geopolitics now, it looks like the White House is stepping up pressure on Germany and France when it comes to trade. The administration's adding extra tariffs to goods from those countries starting next month. It's a move designed to squeeze the EU into settling the long-running dispute over illegal subsidies to Airbus.
All right, let's check how the markets are faring now. We do that every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 3 points, Dow futures down 12, NASDAQ futures down 10. The 10-year is up 5/32, yield 0.66%. 2-year Treasury yield 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil down 4 cents, $42.63 gets you a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5%, down $9.30 at $19.39.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1848 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.81. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
We're at 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has backed off a requirement that the state's 2,500 public schools conduct in-person teaching and says some districts will be allowed options.
Any student who chooses to continue remote learning must be accommodated.
Murphy's decision came a day after groups representing administrators joined the state's biggest teachers union, the New Jersey Education Association, to raise alarms about classroom safety while the coronavirus continues to spread. This comes as over 480 new coronavirus cases were reported in New Jersey, with 9 more deaths. New York City teachers and staff are calling for the Education Department to delay in-person learning past September 10th over pandemic worries. The Council of School Supervisors and Administrators told Mayor de Blasio there are many unanswered questions about concerns from teachers. The United Federation of Teachers Union also says they believe the Department of Education should delay the reopening of school buildings. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris spoke in Wilmington, Delaware at their first joint appearance on the Democratic presidential ticket. Senator Harris says the current administration has done way too much damage to the country to remain in office any longer.
Everything we care about, our economy, our health, our children, the kind of country we live in, it's all on the line.
Meanwhile, Biden says he wants his VP choice to do what he did for President Obama.
Ask Kamala to be the last voice in the room, to always tell me the truth, which she will. Challenge my assumptions if she disagrees. Ask the hard questions, because that's the way we make the best decisions for the American people.
Joe Biden raised $26 million for his presidential campaign in the 24 hours after announcing that Senator Harris would be his running mate. President Trump gave a wide-ranging briefing from the White House last night. He was asked about his recent abolishing of low-income housing requirements for many suburbs.
They fought all their lives to be there, and then all of a sudden they have something happen that changes their life and changes what they fought for so many years.
Critics slammed the move as racist and promoting segregation. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Hey, Michael, thank you. It is 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Hey, good morning, John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Yankees sweep the mini two-game series with Atlanta, winning last night at the stadium 6-3. They trailed 2-0 early, but then back-to-back home runs from two guys who really needed them. Gary Sanchez, his average still just over 100. And Clint Frazier, welcome back. Frazier had three hits. He has seemingly been ping-pong back and forth between New York and the minor league for a few years now. Happened again a couple of weeks ago, but with Giancarlo Stanton out for maybe a month, Frazier gets another chance, and Aaron Boone liked what he saw last night.
I'm not surprised. I feel like he's been in a great place now for really all this year, you know, in spring and summer camp and the work he was doing down there the last, you know, 10 days or so. Excited to see him come up and really have an impact.
Yanks off tonight, play the Red Sox tomorrow. Aaron Judge should play this weekend. He didn't play last night. Lower tightness. Mets day game with the Nationals. They'll try to get a split. The Mets won last night 11-6, a game that was 4-3 Mets still in the first inning. Mets broke it open with 5 in the 6th. Three Mets had big nights. Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, Dom Smith all had three hits, including a home run. Islanders opened their first-round playoff series with Washington, beating the Capitals 4-2. They trailed 2-0 late in the second period, got on the board, and then scored three times in the third. Anders Lee had the tying goal. He also got in two fights. Augusta National announced that when we finally have the Masters in November, 7 months later than usual, there will be, like the PGA Championship and U.S. Open, no fans, or as they call them, patrons. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
Thanks a lot, John. Now some of the corporate stories we're following this morning. Shares of Cisco down almost 6% in early trading. The company gave a lackluster forecast for the current period, a sign that businesses are spending less in the recession. The CEO, Chuck Robbins, wants to reduce expenses by $1 billion through a reorganization that includes job cuts and early retirement for some workers. Lyft posted its worst financial performance as a public company. The ride-sharing service reported a 61% decline in revenue, and its loss rose by 37%. The company did maintain its forecast for a quarterly adjusted profit by the end of the next year. Airbnb reporting a 67% drop in revenue, but is still pushing ahead with its plan to IPO. Here with more on the story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
San Francisco-based Airbnb reported tumbling revenue and mounting losses in the second quarter, but sources say the home-sharing startup is still eyeing a stock market debut before the end of the year. Revenue fell to $335 million. That is down from the more than $1 billion the company reported in the same period last year, a shift that reflects the magnitude of the impact of the coronavirus pandemic on global travel. Airbnb have been one of the most highly anticipated stock listings of this year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And coming up today, we get earnings from Applied Materials. The semiconductor equipment maker reports results after the closing bell. Here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Sales for Applied Materials Semiconductor Systems Division could grow both sequentially and from a year ago, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Investments by its foundry customers in next-generation technologies may offset weakness at its automotive and industrial chip customers. The business model of its service division may provide stability for third quarter sales. Management has not provided guidance for the quarter. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg see a profit of about 95 cents a share on revenue of nearly $4.2 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:39 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. With that, here's Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
California's Air Resources Board has released details of a long-awaited rule to reduce diesel emissions from heavy-duty trucks. The agency says the new regulation, which will be considered later this month, could have an impact akin to removing 16 million cars from the roads. The goal would be to reduce nitrogen oxide emissions by 24 tons per day by 2031. California has some of the worst air quality in the nation. Transportation accounts for just over 40% of emissions. Heavy-duty trucks are the biggest source of nitrogen oxide emissions, and they account for more than a quarter of the diesel particulate emissions in the state. The Air Resources Board says the rule would improve air quality throughout the state and would be especially helpful in areas that are disproportionately affected by truck emissions. That's because trucks emit more pollution when they are idling or sitting in slow traffic than when they're driving on the highway. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
And Apple is stepping up its services offerings. Bloomberg News has learned the company is preparing a series of bundles to let customers subscribe to its digital services at a lower monthly price. The bundles are called Apple One. They're planned to launch as early as October. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are edging lower as equities show signs of faltering with stimulus talks in Washington remaining deadlocked. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Starting to see some fluctuation in the futures contracts this morning. S&P futures are down 2 points. Dow futures have turned higher. They're up 2. NASDAQ futures down 6. 10-year Treasury is up 5/32nds. Yield 0.66%. Yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $42.67 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $8.40 at $19.46 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1847 against the dollar. The yen is at 106.81. My apologies. Watching shares of Apple in the pre-market, they are higher by 0.4%. Bloomberg News has learned Apple is getting ready to introduce a series of bundles that will let customers subscribe to several digital services at a lower price. The bundles dubbed Apple One could launch as early as October alongside the next iPhone line. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris delivered a 1-2 punch on the character and performance of President Trump as they made their election case for the first time as Democratic running mates in Delaware. Meanwhile, President Trump continued to push for schools across the country to open buildings to students for the start of the new school year. President Trump has privately said that he intends to replace Secretary of Defense Mark Esper after the November election, according to people familiar with internal discussions. One person said Esper has told people close to him that he intends to leave regardless of the election's outcome. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets beat the Nationals 11-6. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles won. The A's beat the Angels 8-4. The Giants lost. NHL playoff action. The Islanders won Game 1 over the Capitals 4-2. The Bruins beat the Hurricanes in double overtime 4-3. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:49 on Wall Street, and it's time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump and Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, making opposing economic bets in the stimulus standoff. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris make socially distanced debut as the Democratic ticket. And hundreds quarantined in schools that followed the president's advice. Let's take a deeper dive into these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, who joins us now. Kathleen, thanks for being with us. Well, let's start off with the stimulus talks. Where do they stand right now?
Well, we're not really very much better off than in terms of getting closer to a deal than we were 24 hours ago. It sounds like there were some offers traded yesterday by Steven Mnuchin and Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, but it doesn't sound like either side was ready to accept or even really consider or entertain the other side's option. Both were pretty soundly rejected. And it sounds like the two sides are still about $1 trillion apart when it comes to even the size of the package. And specifically, there's disagreement still over how much aid should go to state and local governments. Democrats want a lot more aid than what Republicans, it seems, are willing to consider. And so those are some big issues that still need to be worked out. But I will say it's a positive sign that at least they're talking. That was not the case 24 hours ago.
Do they have different views of where they think the economy is heading?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that that's part of the issue, really, that kind of underlies the specifics of what it is that they're proposing, which is that the White House has a much more rosier view of how the economy is going to fare in the coming months than Democrats do. And so Democrats, because of that, are pushing for a lot more aid than what Republicans are saying is necessary.
Let's move on to our next story. Of course, the Kamala Harris makes her debut as the Democratic part of the Democratic ticket yesterday. It was socially distanced. So far, what's been the reaction?
Well, I think there's been a lot of energy and excitement on the Democratic side about getting the ticket set, and particularly about Biden's decision to go with a black woman to, you know, be the first non-white woman ever on a major party ticket. So I think that's generated a lot of initial excitement. It was a bit of a strange rolling out ceremony yesterday, but I guess everything in 2020 is that way. It's very unusual. You know, they gave speeches that, like any stump speech, included natural applause lines, and there was no one really there to applaud because it was just campaign staffers and journalists. There weren't members of the public there. So that just really underscored how different this kind of an election is. This election is going to be from any election that we've seen in the past. And I think, though, that it is certainly something that has re-energized the Democratic side and sort of put some excitement behind the idea of this ticket, not just on the Democratic side, around the idea of defeating Trump.
Can we get a sense if they have actual chemistry between the two of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Again, it's a bit hard to tell, you know, with all the social distancing measures. But I think there was a sense that the rapport between the two of them was at least decent, and I think that's something to watch because, you know, it's important to remember that Biden, you know, and Obama, by all accounts, had a very, very close relationship. And so, whether or not Kamala Harris, who obviously was quite critical of Biden in at least one of the debates and his record on school busing, his record on segregation. And so I think that, you know, that is an interesting dynamic to watch. By all accounts, they have a very good rapport thus far, but I think it'll be interesting to see as the campaign unfolds.
And finally, with the president's desire to get to schools opened in the fall, the experience so far hasn't been a great one, has it?
That's perhaps even a bit of an understatement, I'd say. You know, we're seeing schools that fully reopened, you know, being open for just a matter of days, having hundreds of students, in one case in Florida, I believe, that are quarantined and then turning around and reclosing. Now we're seeing some schools that had planned to open changing course, and other schools that, you know, had planned to have some sort of in-person learning looking for some new types of workarounds. So it's a bit of a patchwork all over the U.S. at this point, but certainly the states or the school districts that have gone first with the reopening plans, it really hasn't been going well, to put it mildly.
Kathleen, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter. And you could read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a top 100 national university in the latest U.S. News and World Report college rankings. Learn more at news.njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Facebook is launching a voting information hub to give users election information, including links to register to vote or volunteer at a local polling station. The hub will be promoted atop U.S. users' Facebook and Instagram feeds later this fall. company expects it'll reach 160 million Americans before the November presidential election. Microsoft is now taking orders for its dual-screen Surface device in the U.S. It's an attempt to re-enter the mobile handset market with a product that blends the features of a tablet with those of a phone. It is the thinnest Surface ever, with screens that unfold completely to serve as a phone or act like a book to provide more space for different apps. The Android-powered Surface Duo will start at $1,399 and be available September 10th. And despite facing a possible takeover or expulsion from the U.S., TikTok continues to make deals. The New York Yankees signed one with the controversial video-sharing app in an effort to reach younger, digital-savvy fans. The multi-year agreement with the baseball team gives the app behind-the-scenes programming with players, weekly highlights, and custom fan-first experiences on the Yanks TikTok account. And that is today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John?
All right, thanks, Andy. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Eric Bruhn credits the Paycheck Protection Program with saving his small business. He owns SoCo Creamery. This is an ice cream shop and wholesale supplier in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. When we first touched base in April, sales were down 60%. The wholesale business was virtually gone. Well, Eric rejoins us this morning. Describe the experience you had with the government aid, if you would.
We received the Paycheck Protection loan late, but in a timely enough manner so that it helped enormously for us. The store has been down from last year, maybe 20%, but certainly enough so that we're getting to the end of the summer in reasonable shape.
It's worked out well. You're grateful for it. Is it enough to sustain you going into what could be a slower season in the fall and the winter?
I'll just say I hope so. It's not like we're ending the summer with a pile of cash.
Just how important is the government stimulus to you and your business?
We were able to keep people employed so that when summer arrived, we could be a business. So it really served the express purpose. And on the demand side, I think that there are a lot of people out there who have been given life support over the last 4 to 5 months. If that comes to an end, some people will just not make it.
That's Eric Bruhn, owner of SoCo Creamery in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Thanks and best of luck. And I'm sure you're watching those stalled stimulus negotiations in Washington very closely. So far, no signs of a breakthrough. We're going to continue bringing you stories of small businesses trying to survive during the pandemic every day at this time on Bloomberg Radio. And that is your Bloomberg Small Business Report for today. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. We'll see whether the equity market rally survives with those talks continuing at a standstill in Washington. Ahead of the open this morning on Wall Street, futures are drifting down 3 points for S&P futures. Dow futures are down 11, NASDAQ futures down 8 points. 10-year Treasury is up 6/32. The yield, 0.66%. 2-year Treasury yield, 0.15%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. Up next for John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.